Shalom Beselam and welcome to our new podcast, Jüdische Studien heute. Today with me via Zoom are Noah Hemmele and Vuka Skurnio from the Paideia program in Stockholm. So, hello Noah, hello Vuka.
Hey, hey, as we say in Swedish.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Vuka. Does that sound correct?
That sounds very correct.
So maybe Noah and Vukash, you want to say a bit more about you and also your role in the Paideia project.
So my name is Noah. I'm local of Stockholm, of the Jewish community here in Stockholm. And I'm the director of Paideia, the European Institute for Jewish Studies in Sweden, which we will talk a little bit more about later. But I was also a student of Paideia when it started 25 years ago.
And my name is Łukasz. I'm working at Paideia as director of programs, various programs. And this is also something I can talk later on. But among those are the one-year Jewish studies program, our major program that we are doing together. I'm originally from Poland. I moved to Sweden 17 or 18 years ago, and I started to work at Paideia about 10 years ago. And I also have to mention I'm a former student of the one-year Jewish studies program as Noah. We are both graduates of the program and now working at the institute.
That sounds as if you're confident that this is a successful program, because I mean that may be one reason why you started working for it.
Definitely. I mean, one of the main things is to get our graduate and alumni active in Jewish life and Jewish culture. And, you know, some decide to stay here at Paideia, some go on to the Hochschule in Germany. And then, you know, the idea is to kind of spread and to go back to your home communities and continue the good work of Jewish culture and Jewish life.
We can also mention that we are not the only alumni working at our institute. There are several of them who are responsible for other programs as well. And there are also some of our alumni who are back into the program teaching different subjects. So this is also yet another circle that we are very proud of.
So Noah, Paideia, let us know, what does Paideia stand for at all?
So Paideia, as some of you might know, means education in classic Greek. So it's the same word as pedagogy. It comes from the word paides, child, or how to educate the child. And the idea, of course, was in ancient Greece that when Hellenism spread, that you didn't have to be born a Greek anymore. You could learn the Greek culture, the Greek sources, and you could join the conversation through the classical education. Paideia was also a word that it was an idea that came into Jewish culture, but the word was never used. So a lot of Greek words have been used in Jewish culture, like synagogue, Sanhedrin, etc. The word paideia was not used as a Jewish word, but the idea of the Beit Midrash is claimed that it was also in dialogue with the Greek idea of paideia. So for us, it represents several things. One thing is that through text, you can learn a culture. And secondly, it's an openness to the society, meaning that it's both a European and a Jewish institute and space that we're creating. And to use a Greek word for a Jewish idea is also something that we kind of feel embodies the idea of the Institute of Paideia.
So maybe because we talk now about Paideia, but maybe explain first what Paideia is.
Absolutely. So Paideia started 25 years ago. We just celebrated our 25th anniversary, and it started on the initiative of the Swedish Parliament together with the Jewish communities in Sweden. And at that time, around the year of 2000, the then Prime Minister of Sweden launched a big inquiry into the Sweden's role in the Second World War, but also Europe in general. So there was a conference, the Stockholm Conference, it was called 25 years ago, where European countries came together in Stockholm and discussing and also making pledges about how they can strengthen, both looking into the past, but also strengthen Jewish life and culture for the future. And 20 years later, there was another conference in Malmö, the Malmö Conference, again bringing European countries together. One of the results 25 years ago was the start of Paideia to strengthen Jewish life all over Europe. So this is our mandate, not even if we're in Sweden, but our mandate is to work to strengthen Jewish life and culture throughout Europe.
Was Paideia first thought to be for Jewish students?
First of all, it was very important for the Swedish government. This was under the auspices of the foreign ministry in Sweden, that it's not only a Swedish project, but it's a European project. So, and when we say Europe, we mean all of Europe, not only the EU, but we have students and programs and activities in from most of the European countries. And I think it was also clear from the beginning that it's important to work with everybody who has a wish to impact Jewish life and culture in Europe. So it doesn't matter in which family you're born or what's your background. The important question that we ask is, how can you contribute to strengthening Jewish life and culture in Europe? And this can be done in many different ways. If you work at a museum, if you work in a school, if you're active in an NGO, if you're an academician, if you're a journalist. And yes, of course, many of us have a Jewish background, are active in Jewish communities, but also many students and graduates are not from a Jewish background. I think this is actually one of the strengths of Paideia. To work in Europe, it also means working with all of Europe and all of the society, not only within the Jewish communities. So this is how we see it.
If you say Paideia, it means a lot of programs. It's not only the program you have with the Hochschule, but maybe we concentrate first on the program with the Hochschule. What is that about? What kind of program is that? Maybe you want to talk about it a bit.
Yes, of course. So let's start with our joint program, the cooperation that we started more than 15 years ago. I think around 2010 or 2011 was actually the first group. So this is a cooperation between our 1 year Jewish studies program that we conduct here in Stockholm. And of course, the second year that is a continuation of the studies that is done in Heidelberg for the second year of taking additional courses and writing a master thesis and obtaining a master degree. The program that has been established and been running for 15 years, and I think about 100 students went, approximately 100 students continued and went through the joint master program. So this is our flagship program that we are very proud of. But there are others. We are running for, I think, as well, about 15, 16 years, a program that is focusing on project development called Project Incubator. A project development on various projects related to, once again, revival or strengthening Jewish culture in Europe. Short program for approximately 10 days in the summer. And programs or projects that are qualified into that programs are of various areas, but most of them are characterized by the social activism or a social impact that we hope that the participants will reach while being in the program and incubating its own projects. So this was the second one. We are also developing other programs at Paideia, and there are a couple of them in the pipeline. Some of them will be or have been already announced, and some of them will be announced soon. So we are very proud that we have such a diversity of programs, and things are changing and developing all the time.
And how do you finance yourself? Is that Sweden, like your government, is supporting you financially?
Yeah, so we
Okay.
have co-financing from the Ministry of Education in Sweden and the European Union, the CERV program, the Citizens' Equalities, Rights and Values. So this is the main supporters. Then we also have foundations and also private funders and so on. But the majority of the funding comes from the Swedish government and the EU.
And what kind of requirements do I need to meet if I say I come from Colombia, I did my BA there, and I studied mathematics, but actually I want to do now my MA with a Paideia program? Would that be possible? Because I'm
So you
very
will
interested in Jewish life and culture.
have, so you will have a little bit of a tough time to be accepted. It's not impossible. You would need to convince the acceptance committee that you are actually have the potential to contribute to Jewish life and culture in Europe. So it's not about your passport, and it's not about, your religion, but of course there needs to be a convincing case that you will actually use these studies for furthering Jewish culture in Europe. So yes, occasionally we've had someone from South America, I think maybe one throughout the 25 years. But the main target group, I would say, is people living and working in Europe who are active in Jewish culture and life. So you're very welcome to apply also outside. But this is the financing that we have goes towards supporting this target. And we also have stipends and fellowships for people to be able to study here, because it's not so easy to live and study in Sweden. And usually, as a Swedish citizen, you have the possibility of getting a study stipend from the state here in Sweden. And this is usually not the case for international students. So also for us to be able to give a stipend, this is also important that you actually fit into the criteria of the stipends of strengthening Jewish life in Europe. So this is the main point.
How about the languages? Is it, I mean, like when there are Germans applying, of course they speak English, and I guess the program is in English in Sweden. But what about the Swedish or international students coming from Stockholm to Germany? Is the language barrier, oh, is the language barrier?
Coming to Sweden first, because let's take it step by step. So coming to Sweden, no, because all the education is in English, all the courses are provided in English. When it comes to the Hebrew level as well, it's not a problem because we are providing Hebrew at three different levels. It's the beginners, intermediate, and advanced. So depending on the placement test that is organized before the program starts, the students are placed in different groups. And this is how, well, this Hebrew language course looks like. Once again, all the courses are in English. Now, coming from Sweden to Germany then depends on the courses offered in English. I understand that there are more courses that are available in German. So it depends on the language skills of the participants. They can take additional courses that are offered there.
How comes that we are very small? I mean, do we only have 100, 200 students? How comes that we're working together with you
Sure.
already
So
for how many years? I don't know. How many years does that exist?
about 15 years. So I would say around the year 2011. So Paideia was just turning 10 years. We had been around for 10 years. First of all, I do think that the very beginning of the institute, the first year when I was a student, of course there was much more, let's say, finding your way. Like, what is the curriculum? How should it look like? I'm also happy to talk a little bit about the kind of the focus of the studies. But after 10 years, basically, Paideia had been around, it was established, and we were looking more to kind of international cooperations. I mean, as you know, Jewish studies, it's not a huge field. It's a very small field of studies in Sweden. We're happy that it's actually developing right now together with Uppsala University in Sweden, but historically, it has not been a big field of studies. And also throughout Europe, there are not that many universities and that have professorships in Jewish studies. So we were kind of looking at what is there available. And obviously the Hochschule für Jüdische Studien in Heidelberg has a large number of chairs in Jewish studies, a variety of disciplines, which I think is very important, because maybe we'll get to this, but the MA in Jewish civilization and the program in Paideia really spans from antiquity and the ancient times to modernity and contemporary times, both in Jewish thought and philosophy, literature, history, languages, culture. And therefore, it's a little bit difficult to find a cooperation with only one specific discipline. So there was really a very nice match, I would say, between the ambitions of the kind of the broad spectrum of courses that are given at Paideia and the possibility of continuing this, all the variety in at the Hochschule. So I think that this was really the match that we found was very helpful. And also, you said the Hochschule is not so big, but it is bigger than Paideia. Paideia is not a university in Sweden because we're a little bit too small to be our own university, an independent university. And therefore, it's a very good way for our students to progress academically within the German academic system. And about a third of our students go on to PhD studies, maybe not directly after, but a couple of years after. So this is definitely a trajectory that we are interested in. And we felt it was a good fit. The Hochschule felt it was a good fit to get international students into the Hochschule. So this is how it started, and we designed a special program dedicated for this cooperation that started then in 2011.
Yeah, I just read the short note that one of your MA students in True Civilizations, Valentin Marcos, which I personally know from here, was actually accepted 2 days ago in Brandeis at the PhD program, which is really, really cool and impressive. But that makes me wonder, Valentin Marcos is not neither German nor Swedish. How international is Paideia? For example, although I said we are very small compared to the University of Heidelberg, we are like David and Goliath. But we're like proportionally, we are much more international than Heidelberg University, which is cool. So how about Paideia?
Yeah, I agree. We are very international, and I think this is our major target group, international students. But each year, coming from a number of countries, when we have a group of 20 students in the current year, they're coming from 16 or 17 different European countries. We, of course, have Swedish local students, which is also interesting diversity and dynamics between them. But yes, the vast majority of students are international. We say that among our alumni from all the programs that I mentioned before, they're representatives from 40 different countries. So this is very, very international. I think there are very few countries or almost no countries in Europe that we didn't have students before. And so besides the students' body and the fellows, it's themselves, of course, the teachers. And the teachers are as well coming from major universities working in the field of Jewish studies. So we have teachers from Israel, we have teachers from US, and we have European teachers, including teachers from the Heidelberg and from the Hochschule.
But not in Stockholm.
Yes, coming to Stockholm to teach on site. Yes, for the modules that we are organizing. These are the short modules. We didn't talk about the structure. But the courses are, or the program is organized or includes different short modules for 2 3 weeks when teachers are coming, teaching their specialty, the specific subject, and coming and going back to their home universities. And then the next teacher is coming. So it's by modules, and by doing that, we have the possibility of bringing those international scholars, they're experts in their fields, for a short period of time, and the students are exposed to those experts and the field. So I think this is also a very interesting way of organizing the studies. So yes, very
Absolutely, and
international.
it's quite impressive. Would you say this feature is the main asset of the program? Or if I ask you, what do you think is the main gain students can get from studying this 1 year program, this 1 year MA?
Yeah, I think like the aspects that we've mentioned so far, definitely, but there are others as well. So I will just repeat. So the diversity of the students, the international environment of both teachers and students. Noah mentioned the diversity of subjects that are included in the program, from the ancient through rabbinics, medieval to modernity. So to have a perspective that within the couple of months, you can be exposed to such a diversity of subjects, to the whole perspective, and you choose one that you, a student, would like to specialize and continue on the master level to write a master thesis in one of those ones. So that's yet another aspect. I think the as well here, and I assumed as well in Heidelberg, the exposure and the contacts with the local Jewish community, with the Jewish life, with the practical aspects, with the applied dimension of Jewish culture, of strengthening Jewish culture that's happening. So yeah, I think these are the major characteristics and elements behind the successful perspective of the program.
And how would you describe like the student community? Is it that students doing the program are mainly connected to students or are only connected to students doing the program? Or is that a bigger community? Like, how do they live? Do they live all together? Do they live privately? Do they eat all together? Do they, how does that work?
Of course, in the end, it depends on the individual, if the individual would like to be a part and to participate in all those scheduled activities. But besides the program that we are organizing, there are also extra curriculum activities that we or the students themselves organize for them. So there's a community, definitely. They are here in Stockholm for 9 months together, spending a lot of time. The program is organized as a full-time program, so spending a lot of time together in the classroom. You know, for some of them, it might be the first time when they are actually leaving their countries or their home communities and living abroad. So they need the support, they need a connection, and that's why when they are creating that community together. For others, obviously, the time in the class and the time in the school might be, you know, enough, and they are looking for additional activities on their own, and so it depends on the individual level. But yes, we have a students' kitchen here. You know, they have a meals together. We have a Shabbat dinners organized as well from time to time. So we are going to the cinema to see most recent movie on Kafka. So there are activities that we organize in order to create, and obviously we are also sharing the space with other students here in the building. We have students who are a part of our sister organization called Paideia Folk Hochschule. We haven't mentioned that in our
No.
interview yet, but there is an institute that has approximately 40 students on a daytime, and we are sharing the space together. So there's a lot of interaction between our students of the 1 year program and the students of the Paideia Folk Hochschule. And yet this is another
How is it called?
So in German it's Volkshochschule. So Paideia, so there's the Paideia Institute, which has the international programs. And then about 10 years ago we started a Volkshochschule, which is called Paideia Volkshochschule, which is both preparatory for university, because this is a task that all the Volkshochschulen in Sweden has to prepare you for university, but also a lot of evening classes. So it's like an open university,
Right.
which I think is more like the German Volkshochschule. And basically in the daytime there are 40 students in the Volkshochschule, but then in the evening there are a lot of different classes, and there are about 900 people taking the open classes of the Volkshochschule. Some are also taught online, and some are here on site. So this is also actually a possibility for the students that are coming here, the international students, also to interact with the Swedish audience and Swedish community. But also if they want to take a class in music or in another language or something, it's also
Right.
possible to do it.
I was wondering, it was after October 7th and there was the rise of anti-Semitism or the rise of obvious anti-Semitism, let's say it like that. Newspapers, radio stations, whatever, turned to us and asked us for quotations. How do we see it? Asked our director, asked whatever professor from us, because we seemed like the capacity on the field of Jewish studies. If I live in Stockholm and I'm not interested in Jewish studies and I read newspaper, do I know about Paideia? Are you well known, or is it like you have your niche and that's good as it is?
So definitely, if you're interested in studying anything Jewish, you would know about Paideia for sure.
Okay.
But this is the niche, of course. In terms of public relations and so on, yes, they do come and ask questions to Paideia, but we're not formally representing the Jewish communities of Sweden. So there is a Jewish Central Council, the Centralrat, in Sweden, and they are the ones that are representing the Jewish
As with
minority
Gislette
of
in
Sweden.
Germany.
Yes, but of course they might want to interview a Jewish student to hear how what they think and so on. So we get a lot of these questions. Also in Sweden, there are officially five historic minorities and five historic minority languages. This is according to the Council of Europe. So they, ask the member states to look into how to save the historic minorities or how to make sure that they will not disappear. And in Sweden, Jews is one of the five historic minorities. We just celebrated 250 years of Jewish life in Sweden. So it started 1775 officially that the king recognized Jews to settle in Sweden. Before that, there were some exceptions, but not an official Jewish community. And the language that has been appointed as the minority language is Yiddish. So historically, this is also something where they might turn to Paideia to write about a minority in Sweden. So this is also something which is like on the official agenda of Sweden. And there is also a Yiddish revival, I would say. And there is like official support of that language to make sure that it doesn't disappear, and which has led Sweden to become a bit of a center also for Yiddish activities lately.
When you say revival, you mean revival within Sweden or within Europe?
For the language of Yiddish, I was thinking more about Sweden.
And you were talking about the program before. Do you think that the educational way Paideia works differs from teaching and learning in Heidelberg?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think, of course, there are differences. There are differences also because of the profile, I think, of the program itself. And the profile of the Paideia itself. At Paideia, I think Paideia is a combination of several different aspects. And I think one thing is definitely academic studies and of high quality, of excellence, of know-how, and bringing the expertise into the program. But there also Paideia is a combination of those academical studies with the something I mentioned before, practical application or applied dimension, where we hope that our students know getting the, after getting the knowledge and after getting the tools will be coming back to their communities or different institutions where they were originally coming from. They will be coming back now and hoping to be active in the field. So the practical application, the dimension where the students are going back and being active in the field of education, in the field of heritage, in art or culture, is an important aspect of the Paideia mission. So a combination of the academic studies, the practical application, and I
How does
think
that
so,
work?
yeah.
I mean, like, why would I be more active and practical thinking after Paideia than before? Because what you're doing is teaching as well. You're not sending them to volunteer in some kibbutzim.
I have some examples, so let me
Okay.
explain how it works. It works in a way that within the program, we are trying to find an opportunities where we are actually trying, smuggle in some of those aspects, and that's within the program. And then there is what happened after the program. So within the program, we are trying to smuggle in workshops or meetings or events. When the focus is really on the educational tools, for example, of making its own Hevruta package, educational materials that students can, if they wish, they can go back to their communities and teach one of the subjects in to their own communities. So we have workshops, Hevruta workshops, organizing cooperation with the National Library of Israel, that students getting the tools, getting the knowledge. This is a part of the program. Then we have meetings with people who is often our alumni who are working in different aspects of Jewish culture in institutions, in communities, in various aspects, who are coming and telling their own story of, well, their own story of how it was, how it went after Paideia, but as well as what they're active right now within. So yes, like back to your question, Dorothy, like it's not that we tell them and we are giving them a ready manual of what to do and how to do it. It's rather that we are exposing them or we are offering opportunity and they are exposed to various aspects. And of course they choose. And now I can move a bit of what's happened and how do we know what's happening and what's actually whether it works or not. They're all becoming part of our alumni network, and each year we are organizing our alumni conferences where we gather approximately 100 or 100 plus participants from different programs. They're coming to the conference located in definitely various locations in Europe. They're coming and presenting what they are doing right now. Out of 100 participants who are coming, approximately 40 up to 50 are presenting in a different format of what and how and where they are active right now. We are not asking, and we are offering the opportunity, and they are taking that opportunity and presenting. And this is very rewarding to see in which field and in which aspect they are active right now and what kind of projects they are organizing. And it's even more rewarding to see a networking between various groups of alumni meeting and suddenly realizing that, I'm working in the same field as you. That's amazing. Let's do things together. So networking, a cooperation that happens after. Of course, once again, that was a side comment. How do we do that in the program? In the various ways. It's on individuals to take that opportunity or not. We are happy to see that so many of them are doing and taking that opportunity and are active afterwards.
That sounds really impressive. And I was just wondering, is it that people who are more practical and open-minded coming to Paideia, and therefore it works out that they are not only in the scientific field or not only in academic research, or is it also Paideia that makes them open-minded? But that's probably a
Yes.
question you will never be able to answer, but it is very impressive, and I really like the idea of getting the alumni together and networking together once a year. That is so valuable. I think a lot of institutions, educational institutions, don't know really the value of the alumni.
But I think just a comment on what you just said, Dorothy. I think it is, for me, it is a journey. Students are coming and attending the program for various reasons, obviously, but it is a journey for each of them. And within the journey, there are, different opportunities, different directions. They're wondering what to do in the future. Actually, right now, they are wondering what to do in the future because we are soon finishing the program, and that's the moment when they are considering different options. Many of them are continuing into the MA program in Heidelberg, and that's wonderful. Others might consider different options, and as this is a journey for each of them, this is also so inspiring for us to see the development since the day number one of arriving to Stockholm to now listening what their stories, what's happening after MA program.
And do you think Paideia plays a role regarding when you said the Swedish government wants to strengthen the language of minorities, and now Paideia's task, one of the tasks, is also to strengthen Jewish life in Sweden, but also like in Europe because you have international students. Do you think it works, and how would you be able to measure it?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing surveys with our alumni. So I think for sure there has, just looking at Sweden, you can see a Jewish studies teacher in the Jewish school, a curator at the Jewish Museum, someone working at the Museum of the Holocaust. So you can, a person being in charge, head of education at the Jewish community, etc. So of course, you can see it from individual cases. You can ask, are these the people that we, did we produce them or did we attract them to Paideia? As you just said, it's also a question. But maybe what I also wanted to mention is I think actually the focus of the studies also carries with it something meaningful. And when Paideia was started, there was this question, of course, what are you going to teach in a program that where when you want to strengthen Jewish life and culture. So you could see it from a historic perspective, you could see it from a religious perspective, you could see it from a Hebrew-Israeli perspective. There are many different ways of teaching Jewish studies and what is the content. And I would say that even though we do a lot of different things, the main focus, like when we're talking about it, is Jewish text and interpretation. So Jewish thought, literature, and culture. And I think that the classes, in different ways, of course, present to you kind of the primary sources of Jewish text and the interpretation, how it has been interpreted and received throughout the ages. But it also opens up for your own place in that conversation. and for your own participation in the interpretation and the conversation. And I think this is also very important because you might see it as an academic exercise to understand, but it also gives you the tools and the confidence to take a place around the table, to be part of the conversation. And I think this is really what we want to add or to give to the students of the program. One of the main tasks for us is that the students will have the confidence to be part of the Jewish conversation, to be able to discuss existential questions from a Jewish perspective, to be literate in Jewish text and to interpret Jewish text. And with that being kind of the aim of the program, it's not only an academic exercise. It is there are academic courses, but it also gives you the tools and the possibility of expressing yourself and using that knowledge afterwards. So this is also why we are using a lot of Hevruta methodology in the classes, the way of interpreting Jewish text in pairs, and that people will also be using this themselves when they prepare a class or when they have a session or a workshop in a museum. So I think the way we are teaching is also part of the message.
You know, while listening to you, it was really fascinating. I was having a talk with our professor for Talmud and rabbinic literature, and what you just described, it's kind of enabling the students to find their own voice and having their place in discussions and teaching them how to think and argue and giving them the tools via your Jewish literature, via Jewish literature. So there are definitely similarities. What would it be your hope for Paideia and in connection also with us for the coming years, for the future?
Paideia as an institute, we just celebrated 25 years. We are also having 15 years of our cooperation, joint cooperation. So it's a very proper moment to ask those questions of how we imagine the future of our programs or our cooperation. So I think we would very much like to continue at least to the same extent as we are doing. We are, of course, hoping to get more students who would be interesting. We see that the number of candidates is growing again. That's a very positive sign that we are very enthusiastic because there was a moment, obviously, after recent political situation when the just number of applicants dropped. Now it's growing, which is amazing to see. We hope that will continue to grow and we will be able to continue, well, both of our institutions will continue the mission that we set. And I think that's it. We will be happy with that. Just to see the results, to see more and more students coming back to us, either as teachers in our programs, to see that there is a circle from being a student to being a specialist and coming back as a teacher. That personally would be amazing to see, and we are supporting our alumni in that. And more students begin in work in various works related to strengthening Jewish culture in Europe, as Noah mentioned, on different positions, on different projects, initiatives, and programs organized in Europe. I mean, I just would like to see those, and I would like to see the numbers that are growing, and then I will be happy with that.
Maybe I will add, I think the development of an ecosystem of academic Jewish studies in Europe, I think that this is really something that has great potential. It is not so easy because we all have our own languages, our own university systems in each country. But I do think that, for example, to create an Erasmus Mundus MA program for Jewish studies, I think that would be a great opportunity for a couple of universities to go together and create an MA, not because now it's Paideia and the Hochschule, but on a larger scale, to have a European program for Jewish studies, and the EU has this idea of the Erasmus Mundus programs. And of course, you know, there is a strong support, I would say, in the EU for developing Jewish studies, as far as I understand, in Germany as well, and also in Sweden. I do believe that there is great potential. We have just now launched the first chair of Jewish thought together, Paideia, together with Uppsala University, which also shows that, you know, it is developing. There is a new strategy for strengthening Jewish life and combating anti-Semitism in Sweden. And the EU has also, a strategy, and I believe Germany also has this both on a national and on a regional level. What I might maybe hope for the future is that this does not stay only within the EU. It's great with EU support and Germany and Sweden as countries that are supportive of this. But of course, the mandate to strengthen Jewish life in Europe goes also beyond these areas to see how Jewish life, for sure, in Ukraine definitely is a huge challenge, but also in many other countries which might not have the same infrastructure, might not have the same support of the public or the same financing as in some of the, as in our countries. So I think that this is something that we need to think about and how can this be further developed. I'm of course happy with the Swedish-German relationships, but I think also to look beyond that and see the larger picture of Europe would be very important for the future.
So thank you for that. So there's still a lot to do. I mean, we're on the right way, but there's some work still ahead of us. Two more questions, and then we can work on our future plans and the next steps. If a prospective student is listening to this episode, what would you tell this student about why Paideia would be his or her right choice?
Yeah, so we hope that we can offer something that other maybe programs cannot offer, or maybe the focus of other programs is somewhere else, which is the very unique combination of various aspects. And that's once again the academic quality, conversations among the texts and its influence, together with the practical aspects or practical dimension of what's possible, how to use those texts to understand maybe current challenges or other aspects of the program. And this together with some kind of community development and personal development on the personal level. So all those together, I think is a very unique opportunity for each student to, well, to dedicate those couple of months and to discover those aspects.
Thank you. Finally, we have one last question. I always ask the persons I interview about a book, a film, music, whatever they want to recommend, or about a situation they were in that kind of influenced their whole life, or a person they met that made an impression and changed their life. So I guess you had the questions before. Hopefully, you thought about it. So now it's up to you.
I think I can start with, I was explaining before that for me and in my understanding, Paideia program, or actually our both programs, are in a way a journey for each student, a journey or a step that hopefully brings them to yet another level in their career. But it's a journey, and it's also a journey of discovering. Sometimes it's a discovering of its own past or the past of the region or the community. It's about, well, discovering, but also there's an interest and there is perhaps some enlightenment. So I choose a book that is by Jonathan Safran Foer, Everything is Illuminated, because I think this is a book that very much represents the journey for many of our students, where dwelling into the past turns into a journey of identity, of memory, becoming perhaps a new person, maybe not yet a new person, but something that you haven't been thinking about before. This book very much represents my, and I choose that because I think also it's interesting for me personally, but very much represents a journey for many of our students, and I would like to choose this one.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot. We have at one point when the podcast is published, there's the list with recommendation from others and from you, of course, also on the website.
There is a person I would like to mention, and this is the founder and the first director of Paideia, Barbara Spector, who was really the person who designed and started Paideia 25 years ago, and who's also the person who kind of envisioned the focus and how we're going to work to kind of strengthen Jewish life in Europe. And I think the meeting with Barbara, her husband was coming to Stockholm to become the rabbi of the Great Synagogue. And I think that meeting with Barbara has changed a lot of people's lives. It definitely changed the landscape of Stockholm in the sense that Paideia was established. We had not had this possibility of an international institute for Jewish studies had it not been for her. And throughout the years, her meetings with all the students and the graduates, I think that this is really also what Paideia is about, kind of the relational education of having a meeting, having a conversation, and to have an open meeting of how Jewish culture can have relevance in your own life and for your own choices that you're making. So I would just like to end with a tribute also to Barbara Spector for starting Paideia.
Thanks a lot, and Letracht at Pam Haba.